Blog Talk Radio.
Politics on the Navajo Nation. The voice of Navajo politics. Navajo politics. Navajo politics.
Wow. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there, and welcome to the show. This is Cal Nez, and you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. The telephone number, in case you want to call in for any questions or your opinions or anything like that, it's 347-989-0048. And Thanksgiving, just come. We're Thanksgiving evening, and I hope people are driving home safely. The weather seems to be good. Yes, and welcome. And we have also, I got one other message for everybody. As Native Americans, one of the things, one of the issues that we face is, a lot of cases, economics, whether we're on the Navajo Nation or off the Navajo Nation. And that is that I would recommend to everybody to buy Native this Christmas. I'm going to come up with a logo, and I'm going to blast it everywhere. And remember, before you start going down to Walmart or any other store, Bashas, or whatever store you guys typically shop at, all the border towns, make sure that you seek out Native American businesses. So, again, buy Native this Christmas. So that's going to be our motto. And I'm going to broadcast that all the way through till Christmas. So, last week, for those who have tuned in, we have had several discussions of various different kind, from business to the Navajo Nation government. And of course, this again is politics on the Navajo Nation. So we're going to cover a lot of things. Last week we had an organization called the Forgotten People, and to kind of give you some background information, I want to just tell everybody that I was looking at some of the business dynamics, some of the business setup that's going on with the Navajo Nation. And as a businessman of 27 years, I mean, of course, my interest is very much into business. I think that as a Navajo Nation government, yes, we should be looking for development. Development is, in my opinion, is something that's going to make the nation grow. However, as I was exploring this entire concept, the things that I started coming across are organizations and groups or individuals who have concerns, concerns about environment or, you know, whatever, however it affects their particular location. Now, on the flip side of this thing is that we have a Navajo Nation government. Now, reservation-wide, one of the things that I personally advocate is to be able to say, okay, Navajo people, economic development. Wherever it is that we as Navajo people, how is it that we're going to be able to find that balance? Of course, we have our tradition. We have our culture. We have sacred sites. And then yet at the same time, the philosophy of tribal leaders, even our own families, you Kodoe, whether we're living on the Navajo Nation or off the Navajo Nation, Kodoe Hutoe Sad E Hutoe Beniche Heda Isi E Sad E Nitandi Dash Danise Hutoe Behonizen E Shabin Nashin Sakhara She Hutoe in Dekre, non Nishbekin Dekre, Edo Tao Ultrapin E off reservation Hutoe Are Keda Honite. So now, as I'm looking at all of these things, and it's just not any particular part of the Navajo Nation that I'm trying to single out, but trying to open up a philosophy and a dialogue where we can begin to discuss at where do we find this balance. And so that's why I brought on the Forgotten People last week. And so for all of those who are interested in having a discussion once we get rolling here, and thank goodness that we're going to have about 1 hour show. And but this evening I've got another group, and I'm so absolutely grateful, and I want to introduce them. The group is called Save the Confluence. And of course, they're an organization that is based out of Western Navajo, and I'll give each of them time to introduce themselves and be able to bring them on one at a time, and I'll allow them to introduce themselves and establish who they are, what part of the Navajo Nation that they're targeting, and what specifically is their position. And so this evening, we have Save the Confluence Families. And the first person that I want to introduce is my friend. I almost said old friend, but, you know, that's not necessarily meaning age-wise. I'm saying I've known this lady for a long time, and she had a University of Utah connection. And I didn't realize that she was from Tuba City area. So, A.C.A. Kodoe D. Wilson Aguirre, A.C.A. Tuba City, then Ichihorne. D., welcome. And I'd like to just turn the time over to you and have you get us started here.
Yate. Cal.
Yate.
Cal said, my name is D. Wilson Aguirre. I see Shizhige Dolores Wilson Aguirre, AI in the Shia. Yes, I've known Cal since back, I won't say the years. Anyway, my family and I grew up in the southern Badawi, about 3 miles east of the confluence, the Da Toliaish. The edge and a place we called among the fields of sagebrush. The Shlinige ya be the Tony Tudichi in Shle. Ado and the Najineba Shin, Kiahani, the Shichito, Papa, the Shinale, the Potoya, Sun and Shle. And some of our homes still stand, and sheep corrals made out of stone still stand 3 miles east of the confluence. My extended family practiced the earth faith, and we were taught the same. The area has been under the Navajo-Hopi land conflict since 1966, and about two generations of Navajo families moved out before the two tribes settled the matter in 2007. My extended family followed the flock and continued to do so today. And portions of the families and children decided to stay on the land and continue to herd sheep or use the property to graze cattle, and they have home site leases. Those of us who grew up near the confluence, we take our prayers to the canyon as we were taught, and never move too far away from the land. We continue to return to the area currently to restore our mind, soul, and take our corn pollen, which we sprinkle into the canyon and pray to the Colorado River, the little Colorado River we know as Holy Deity. The area has a history, as we have many traditional Navajo traditional ceremonies for our families, my extended families too, and different places have stories which relate to the emergent. Our jobs and opportunities took us away from our home, but we never left the land. We knew not as we didn't know it as the Grand Canyon East, but we know it as the dot, the edge, or tfatra. And if the tram and luxury resort are built in this area, it will ruin our prayer spots. And like I said, we have a history to the area. And Ikodo, Otehasasmido, Le Petato, Tatrahalie, Ado Eya, Panchitane Yado, Adanek Eche, Tradatin Bahil Sushi, Ajahoto, Betanchitane Yado, Le Topetacha Hadika, Eado, Tadatinism, Equiadian, Holoh Nido, Tokiti, the Lenigi, Sto, Pitsado, Dahane, Sonet, Net, Echo. It should be long, it creates the life.
I appreciate the opportunity for you to be able to share that with us. The rest of the guests, I'll bring them on. And one of the things I want to do is this, is that to be able to have you introduce yourself, what area specifically that you guys are concerned with, of course, the clan and, you know who you are. And then after everybody goes, introduces themselves, we will then get into the specifics, and I've got some questions that I'd like to ask. Okay. So next on the air is Renee Yellowhair, or Yellow Horse, excuse me, Renee Yellow Horse, and she's calling in from Tuba City. Renee, yate.
Thank you, Cal. Already married me off. Just kidding. Yeah, Renee Yellow Horse, eh, when she Salt Clan, they're my chays, Ado Sinigini, Ashin, Ada Sinigini, Dashinale, Ado my aunt, Dashabija, Athin, the Ada Dabagan, out in Badaway area. That's why I'm involved with the group, although I've been raised in Tuba City, in the salt. Anyway, that's why I'm involved at the group.
Okay. And next, we will have also with the group is Dion Ben.
Yeah. Hey.
Welcome.
Are that's not saggy. Ni ke avocado do are kel yat in hididish ni sto do a ke na khaos a to shaos a she ya dion beni ni she ni shlini ge ho wan san ho ye in shle do oge or do a shinge da shije do oge da shi che do ken le chi ne da shanale ko do e ya Chashkai Borato, Ado Aisi, Ado Aisi Ashton, Chashkai Borato, Bernade, Ado Aisi Nashaho, ako she yaha di adet ne nagi patato to twahi de kliniki to ba do e holye do ad adet ne bakaish wado di confluence a holye holye hegi a ad tada ke be keko e hot a ad shike hazli oko a bini naho dis jaw do nasto e hot a bakadesh wasn send o hot a bakaish bakaish oko hot a the nenishle oko an sia da shama sando shche do shnal sa shi yahazli do shama do shjelto ad an hin hi ol e the neni ol e bek eko do ad ne kecho bek eko oko di ad badate ale tal ne ta no kuto e ya ha da de kui goshi do shil ya te do do shil an ni da oko e shi din na shi ne ko de shi ne to le so kel ko hot a e de men shi
agoshila o shehala welcome Dion Ben. We have another caller also. I'm not sure where he's calling in from, but Ishide, Mr. Jason Nez. Of course, Ishide, look at Jason.
As I just said, I'm Jason Nez, and I'm an archaeologist. I've worked all over the reservation, formerly worked for the Navajo Nation Archaeology Department, the National Park Service, and the Museum in Northern Arizona. And right now, I'm just a regular archaeologist helping out.
Okay. And I'm sure we'll have some questions for you, and we'll go down the list as we proceed with the show. Otto, we also have another caller that's coming that has called in, and that's Sarah Deal. Sarah, yate?
Oh, yeah. Hello. Can you hear me pretty good?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Sarah Dill. I'm from Big Mountain, which is Tzitzlintza. And my clans are Chishidene. My dad is Gozofane. My next clan is Ashihi. And my Nelly is Torichiri. And I currently am a community volunteer in the Tuba City area, and I'm a representative and spokesperson for Save the Confluence. I'm about, the no water rights and uranium, and I guess you could say an activist, and I'm really concerned about the people that live in the area and what is going on with the development. And as I've come to know Renee and Dolores as distant relatives, and I was brought up to, help other people and just do my best to help out on the Navajo Nation. That's what my grandmother taught me. And I see the families are not getting heard in the Navajo Nation government. And my purpose is to help them in that area and get their voices be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And welcome to everybody, and thanks for your information. And so we have about 20 minutes has lapsed so far, and we're going to continue with the discussion. And so, again, for all those listeners out there, if you have any questions or input or opinions, you are welcome to call in at 347-989-9800. 0048, and we will take just a little bit of break here, and we'll be back in a bit while everybody gets their ideas and thoughts together. On the Navajo Nation, and we have about 40 minutes left in the show. All the listeners out there, welcome, and we will we'd like to invite you to call in, and I'm actually waiting for one other caller also, and that is the world famous Bill Donovan from the Navajo Nation. So looking forward to that.
Politics on the Navajo Nation. The voice of Navajo politics. Navajo politics. Navajo politics.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. This is Cal Nez. And the telephone number here is 347-989-0048, 347-989-0048. This evening we have Save the Confluence Families. And right now I have five callers who are online. And so specifically I want to be able to get into the reasons why. I mean, we have, of course, we had Dee talk about the spiritual aspect of the location, and why there is a concern. I've got Renee, and I'd like to have Dee also have an input on this. Now, we have the Navajo Nation, who is obviously looking for economic development. Now, while we're talking about economic development, certain areas of the Navajo Nation are considered sacred. Now, specifically in reference to having things that are, or having areas that are very, very sacred, can you guys, can your organization tell us specifically what is it, what exactly, okay, rather than just saying no to a location, where does your organization, where are we taking this entire concept? How are you going to address the economic development? Dee or Renee? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh. I'd like to have Jason respond to this.
Okay. I will bring Jason on then.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a pretty common question when we're dealing with any kind of movement, whether it be uranium mines, coal mining, solar power. The common question is, what are you going to do about it? What's your solution? And one of the things people have to realize is, as individuals, like, you know, we're just people. I mean, we have jobs, we have lives, and even though we get lumped in with obstructionists, that we're just holding up things to hold it up. It's like we're people taking time out of our lives and our day to try to deal with this. We're trying to save something, and people don't consider that, whereas larger organizations like the Navajo tribe, states, and federal government, they have committees, they have task force, they have people paid to find solutions, they have a room of people, and it's their job to figure out what is environmentally sensitive, what's culturally sensitive, what can we do to get economic development moving forward while maintaining our spirituality and maintaining our relationship with the environment. And I guess to answer your question is, there's things we think about, like everyone's, the common answer is on 89, I mean, just with any kind of economic plan, it's like we should start small. I mean, fix up the gas station, fix up the trading posts, and use that as sort of a test to see how much money is actually coming in and out. I mean, we can study things, we can theorize numbers, but we won't know until we try something. And starting out small is a great place to start. And another thing is, before we even get into economic development, it's almost like we need to reset this whole process. We need to get the people who are most impacted involved, because everyone has been left out of the process. All of the decisions are done in secret. All of the planning is done in secret. And how can that be what they're calling environmentally sustainable? How can that be culturally sensitive if the input isn't there, if people aren't involved, but they're not asking, if they're not saying, what do you think? Where should we go from here? It's almost like we have this boarding school mentality from the 50s and 60s where people that were intelligent, a lot of non-natives were saying, I know what's best for all of you. You guys aren't capable of making your own decisions, so I'm going to make it for you. We have people that grew up with that mindset, and they're the ones making these decisions now. And they need to include the families and the Navajo people as part of any process.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's sort of what I had to say about that.
Yeah. Okay. So now, as a group, can you tell me how you guys are working together? Are you guys an organization? Is there a president? Is there a spokesperson? How does the Save the Confluence? Because I looked on the website and didn't seem to be getting who's a president, who's serving on the board, because there's other organizations that do have that. How are you guys have come together?
Kel, this is Dee. I can answer that.
Okay.
It started as a family. And since this project was started being pushed in there, we started getting together. And our group, we do not have a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer. We want to be all. We want everyone to have a say in the group. And when this project was introduced, it felt like it was shoved down our throats. And so we got together, and not only our family, but other people from different groups and just people started contacting us and helping us. That's how we started as a group to Save the Confluence.
Okay. So as I was reading, what caught my attention of your organization was that I went to your website and went down to various different posting. And one of the things that caught my eye was that I noticed that there was a picture of the president, Ben Shelley. And he was on there, and he there was a little quote on there that basically said, we want this project. Here's our offer. Take it or leave it. And so it sounds to me like that's kind of what you're referring to. So while this it's called the Escalate Project, and the Escalate Project is going to be located in an area which is called the Confluence, and which is specifically located where, Renee? Renee?
Okay. Okay,
hello?
I'm not lost here. Okay, it's basically the confluence is where the Little Colorado River and the Colorado River meet together in the Grand Canyon. The spirituality and the sacredness that's connected to the area is that the Little Colorado River is the female river, and the Colorado River is the male river, and where they meet is where life begins. And these are stories that were taught to me, my mother, my great-grandmother, through them, and also that life begins there, and when we're done with life here on Earth, that's where we go back into. Back to the that area. So it's also the area on the Grand Canyon. They call it Grand Canyon East, and it's bordering the Navajo Reservation there at the Grand Canyon. It's also with the Grand Canyon National Park.
Okay.
That's
so
the area that's in consideration for the Escalate Project.
Okay. And so... Yeah, thanks, Renee. I've driven between Flagstaff and Cameron, okay, and also north into Page. So real quickly, as I'm driving from Page, I come off that huge canyon that goes zigzag back and forth. Where is this confluence at?
So... The general location of where the project is proposed is west of Highway 89. So if you pass Cameron heading north toward Page, you would pass the Cameron community and you would go beyond the Painted Desert area, Ayot Bestranahlonque. Right beyond that is where you start hitting the Echo Cliffs. And there's several routes you can take that takes you out from there. And it's about 26 miles west of Highway 89, and it's really, really tough terrain, sharp limestone rocks. You got washes, clay, and where the project is designated, it's about 26 plus miles until you hit the rim of Navajo Nation, and where you would go into the Grand Canyon Park. Exactly where Renee had mentioned, where the two rivers meet. And the river that runs from the south comes in from Cameron, so it's all the Little Colorado drainage that goes that way from the south, and then the north is the Colorado from Page.
Okay. So so we kind of get the general picture, because I'm from over in eastern Navajo, so I'm somewhat unfamiliar with that area. Okay, so now specifically... Your group's concern is that, okay, we can't have this development take place here because of its sacred nature, and it has some traditional ties to it. So that is understood. Now, let's take it to another level. Now, and I'm also going to ask these questions for whether it's the confluence or the Escalate Project or any other project. Here's we have the Navajo Nation. It's about the size of the state of West Virginia. Akoro, whether the project happens in Chinle area, Eastern Navajo, Southern, Northern, Utah section. Now, the fact of the matter is this. The Navajo Nation is considered a third world country. Our economics are very, you know, we're several steps behind. That's not a criticism. That's a reality. Whether we're on the Navajo Nation or off the Navajo Nation, here's some of the very interesting dynamics of what I'm seeing in this thing, although I personally do not maybe agree with that the Navajo Nation wants to be a partner. Let's get more specific. What is it about the way that the business has been arranged that your group feels that they have been left out? Business is being conducted behind closed door. What do you mean by that? How is it that here's a project coming in and you feel left out?
Cal, am I on?
You're on, yes.
Okay. Well,
everybody,
you know,
and you guys can chime in at any time. So I'm just going to throw a question. So whoever can answer that, jump in. We have about 23 minutes left in the show.
Question. You bring up some really interesting perspectives in regards to this project. And one of the main reasons that also is in the folder for the families to oppose this project is, as you explained, the process in which it's being proposed. it is being proposed by a third party, a company that's outside of Navajo with Navajo partnerships, but the interest in establishing the project would benefit the partners that are non-Navajo at a majority or at a larger rate than it would with Navajo Nation. So Navajo Nation would be negotiating a partnership, which would incorporate negotiating percentages of rate that comes into the Navajo Nation of income. You would be negotiating how much employment would be Navajo preference, and so forth. All the other business aspects to this project, we would be negotiating as a partner to this project, whereas it's not a Navajo Nation-driven project that we are the ones taking the bids in on what we would be considering appropriate in a business perspective and how that whole chain process follows in ordinance with Navajo Nation laws. That was one of the main reasons why the families also are are opposing the project. And in the manner what you're talking about how it's done closed doors. You know, there's a lot of relationships and a lot of dynamics, it's called politics, that are within Navajo Nation. And a lot of those decisions or relationships that have developed between businessmen and such are at the government level. So if an individual wants to come in and create a project like this, they get their stakeholders, they get these large name partners to establish their relationships back on Navajo, and that's going on right now within the government level, and that's why the families and a lot of the folks that are really participating and helping with this opposition effort, they feel we all in a cohort feel that that's what's going on, is that the partners that are running the Confluence Partners LLC have use their leverages and their wages and their relationships on the government level to try to push this project. And I think that's leaving out the community input, and it's leaving out a lot of the local families that are there that could provide a lot more involvement culturally, talking about the region, and not singling them out as protesters or activists or aggressive individuals. And you brought up one good perspective that I really want to bring light to really quick. And you were talking about the Navajo Nation, we are considered a third world country. And in perspective of the United States or in perspective of the nation or the world, we are considered a third world country, but we are rich in culture. We are rich in knowledge of the landscape. So that is at a level where you cannot measure in comparison to the rest of the globe. And we may be in an economic situation, and I do really strongly support economic development, support businesses, entrepreneurship on Navajo, but in a manner that doesn't bully or doesn't have a patrilineal approach. And I was actually driving back from Flagstaff. Oh, really quick. I was driving back from Flagstaff today back to my home here on the eastern side as well, and I saw numbers and numbers of vehicles coming back from Gallup. And I think the one thing to really consider with economic development, thinking about business for Navajo, is the cycle of the money. Navajo Nation money cycles within the Navajo Nation, but it goes exported to these border towns, and that does not return back into the nation. So I think that's a really important part to really consider when thinking about development and businesses. Yeah.
So are you saying then that, okay, whether it's the Escalate project or any other project that happened in that vicinity, if be okay if only the local community were involved? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's a very important part of any kind of development, where, as you mentioned, any part of the nation that is considering development, of course, the landkeepers, the people who are the stewards of that area, must be a key player in the negotiation and participating in the entire process. I think that's very key.
Okay. So I also read in the Navajo Times, one of the things that I wanted to – I mean, this is just an open question to everybody, and I've got a call that I just brought online, and after we have this discussion, I'll have them ask their question. But here's the thing. You know, we're talking about the Escalate project, okay? We want the local people involved. Well, I also read in the papers that weren't the partners and the council delegates or local chapter officials, they were meeting together. Am I right on that?
Yep. Yes, you are.
Okay. Okay, so if that took place, are these elected officials by the community, they are to, and their role is they represent the local people. So doesn't it sound to me like I'm looking at it from strictly from the business standpoint? If I were to start a business on the Ute Tribe, the first thing that I would do is go to the leadership. I would then go to an area specifically targeted where I'm starting my business. I would talk to the leadership there and get everything finalized at that point. So in essence, that sounds to me like that's what's happened.
Okay.
Sarah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, we're running out of time. Here's your time to talk.
You know, you bring up a really good point about that, about the leadership and having them be the representatives from the community. And, you know, in every aspect, when you think about business opportunities and thinking about business coming in onto the nation, you are right. You would go to leaderships of communities or leaderships of representatives first. And in this specific project, it's unique because right after the Bennett Freeze had lifted from the nation, this project was imposed onto these people, onto the community. And because of that, the leadership wasn't fully conscious of where the community stood because of how it was imposed and how quick it was subjected and pushed to the community. So you are right that it is upon the leadership, but I think the leadership that represents that area is not fully representing the community, because when this project was put at a chapter level, it was a split community. It was a range of 50 to 49, 50 to 50 split and therefore a representative representing that community cannot favor nor oppose a project.
Okay. So having said that, I have a caller on the line, and could you identify yourself? 505-592-1453.
Yeah, Ish and
hello.
I, this is Ella. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're on air.
Oh, yeah, this
so, everybody, please, because we only have about 14 minutes left right now.
Okay. I just wanted to say that the group that's on the call, Shay, I support them. Auto on the business side down. The main thing is any radio show. I think it's very important for them to because that's what I do. Online, I open it up for elders. Also to that, what was it that was mentioned? Local people, it's very hard to run a business on the Navajo Nation. It's easier that way.
Thank you, caller.
Kel.
Okay. Anybody want to address that?
Kel.
Yes.
I will. This is Dee. Shaya kado dide to halwadeta aro joe ya nihil hon don nihil na ajnishta aro atzago dahane git o yu hot o all summer long, we were family members that were opposing this project. We were humiliated. Newspaper says in the beginning, family members that's how it was proposed. Business person, if you want to do business, you don't operate like that. We were attacked. And up to this day, then, we don't even know what's going on. We have asked Ben Shelley to meet with us. He just avoids us. The same thing with Desmond Tone. He has told me he was going to call me twice. He has not even called me yet. Of course, the chapter officials, the leaders, there was a lot of illegal activities that went on since this whole process started. And we have filed with the Ethics and Rules Office, and I don't know how that is coming along, but that's as far as we've gone with all of this. And we've been put through so much, just to shove this down our throats. And probably straight to the chapter 2, which we don't know about. Raising permit holders in the state of husband.
Okay. Well, that's very important. Hey, I'd like to ask everybody to please turn your computers, or there's a lot of feedback. Some people are listening to their show, and I can hear it online. Very, very confusing. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. I've got another caller who is online right now, and that is 480-313. So, yate, kuro na irishikidole.
Yate, Cal Nez, this is Ed Vicente from Winter Rock.
Oh, yate, yate, ho.
Yeah, it's been a long time, Cal, since Steve Darden ran for vice president way back, and he did some good stuff, some good work on radio for him. But anyway, real quickly is that I live in Winter Rock. I go to central government just about every other day, and I know more than anyone else on the reservation what is exactly going on, not just with economics, but education, Peabody, NGS, SRP, uranium. I know firsthand about exactly, you know, what our tribal leadership is up to. And basically,
okay,
when our council, when our leaders took oath of office about 3 years ago, when they raised their hand, they swore to protect the interests of the Navajo people, their constituents. But as we find out, they don't inform the people of what, you know, of what's going on in Winter Rock. So I took it upon myself to get the information and get that out to the people. That way the people know exactly what's going on, you know, in the case like the X-Rays
okay.
project. So anyway,
What specifically is your question, Mr. Vicente?
Well, the tribal leadership is not informing the people of what is being decided behind their back. And that is not good leadership. That is bad, failing leadership. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Mr. Vicente. I do know Mr. Vicente. Of course, sure. Now, we only have about 8 minutes left, and I think that we kind of get the general consensus. Well, we have communication. But here, let me just throw another caveat to this thing, and I want to finish with this within the next 8 minutes. And that is this. In the business world, and I've been doing this for 27 years, that's not major CEOs, major corporations and such like that. Even off the Navajo Nation, the bottom line in all business is that a base on agahagi. So you go out and you look at every opportunity to be able to explore this money. Okay. After that, then you put together a package. Investor. Even our own people, even one of them is going to be the Navajo Nation to invest. Now, their laws, their rules, whatever game that they play by, I, as the person who's begging for this investor to come and join me, I must abide by some of those rules. Yet I'm placed in a position where I'm going to have to be the connection to the government or the entity or the county or the municipality where I wish to establish my business. In this particular case, it's on the Navajo Nation. So then I go through all the hoops of what needs to happen over there. Now, having said that, these are some of the – there are certain proprietary information that needs to take place. Until it gets to a certain point, then at that point, maybe we can bring in the Navajo, the local community or the local people here in this county. Now, yet at the same time, by saying no, 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 then are we as Navajo people? When somebody like one of our own goes out and works so hard to bring these investors in, are we discouraging future investors for other projects if we just say no and not give a reason why and then assuming that there's some things that are going on behind closed door. I've seen, I've heard in the last 27 years of certain projects, A, because these guys are holding meetings behind closed door, there's a chance that there's something wrong, that they've got something to hide. Now, those are some of the delicate balances that we're all going to have to look at this. And so my question to you, I'd like to really have you understand, rather than just give me a just a, no, we can't do this because of these reasons. As a group, I'm sensing that you guys are saying, yes, economic development needs to happen, but can you tell me how you make that balance happen? Might that have happened in this particular case? But it's a no. So as a group, give us an alternative. Give us a reason why that we need to make this thing happen and how we can find that balance.
Cal, if we can have Jason answer this.
I like to respond to you, Cal. Akoho di business are there. When they come to the Navajo Nation, you're right about how they profile. They bring their profile and approach it to the Navajo or any opportunity. In this particular project, there was no profile, no investors, no money, any of that information, that packet that you bring to the nation was not anywhere labeled out. And to this day, alternative, you know, there is a way that there's a compromise. There is a way that there's a middle ground to this based off of the economic need, based off of the need of post-Bennett freeze, based off of the needing for jobs, based off of trying to protect and continue the cultural way of life. And the alternative to this is bringing in these entities that are engaged in this whole discussion. You have Hopi Navajo Commission. You have the Navajo Community of Badway Gap. You have the Western Agency Council. All these entities. There's a way, and there is a process of connecting partnerships and establishing themselves to where it's not one group popping up here, one group popping up over there saying yes, one group popping up saying no. It's a collective effort of all of these entities. And
okay,
when businesses come to...
We have 2 minutes now.
Okay, so there is a middle ground, and there is an opportunity, and there is planning going on for alternatives.
Okay, what's that? What's the middle ground?
The middle ground would be considering where there's already land withdrawals that have the same opportunity as this project. Highway 89 has a lot of tourism, and it is a beginning step to what could be drafted as a whole Navajo Nation Western or Navajo Nation Grand Canyon share of Grand Canyon tourism. But it's these beginning processing steps that you would have to go through before hitting something as this magnitude as the Escalade. And that would be an alternative. That's the beginning stages, so that for us Navajo people, we like to see things and observe things before we even try it. And for this process, having the Navajo people see the development at 89, having them see the prospects of that development of 89 and the showcasing of our culture and appropriateness of our culture there, and then from there, having these different layers and these different tiers going into a complete project.
Okay, D. Wilson, we only have about just a few seconds. What's your closing word? What do you want the people to know?
I'd like to send a message to Navajo Nation President Shelley and to step up and tell the community of Ottawa Gap to come back together so we can start from the bottom again. And yes, there are need for economic development.
Politics on the Navajo Nation.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you guys next week. I appreciate it. And you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation.
We need more time.